Good evening. Welcome to Council Connection for the month of October. I'm your host, Steve Dresser. It looks like summer is over in New England. There's a chill in the air. Fall is officially here, at least according to the calendar. We may have a few more warm days, but not many. And that means it's time to get back to work and get down to business and stop thinking about vacations and travel and many of the things that have occupied us during the summer. And we'll start this month's show by talking about an event that happens every year in the Bay State, National White Cane Safety Day. Here's Bob Hache with all the details. Good evening, Bob. Welcome back to the show. It's been a while.
Yes, it has. Thank you for having me. Good evening, all everybody, all you folks out there in Council Connection land. Good to have the fall. I was not too thrilled with our September weather. That's normally my favorite month of the year, nice cool days and bright sun and crisp air, and we didn't get too much of that. We continued with what my wife's been calling the summer of humidity here. So,
yeah, we've certainly had a bunch of moisture this summer, but it's October, and one of the events that happens every October is White Cane Safety Day. National White Cane Safety Day, I guess, is the correct.
That's right. Well, there's a few different things. There's the first of these was actually October 15th, and it was declared originally by Lyndon Johnson back in the 60s. This will be almost the 15th year that MCB has been sponsoring this along with the Bay State Council now and the National Federation of the Blind of Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And Meg has really been the mover and shaker of this event over the years. Mm-hmm. Meg Robertson, that is, who's the head of MCB's mobility department. And so this year's White Cane Day will be on Tuesday, October 16th,
okay,
from 10 a.m. to noon. That takes place at the State House. Anyone looking for a drop-off address, that would be 121 Bowdoin Street, Boston, Mass. And obviously tell them that it is the State House, yep, if you're taking the ride or other paratransit options. And what happens is, first of all, they will be breakfast will be served, coffee and bagels and muffins and such. There will be speakers. We generally get a variety of speakers representing the various populations that represent the blindness community in Massachusetts. And that would include, of course, things like students, elders who are new to vision loss, working age blind adults. And that's pretty much, and then sometimes we've also had blind persons with multiple disabilities, and we've had them speak as well.
Now, are these speakers signed up in advance or?
Yeah, they are.
So if somebody wanted to speak, is it too late to get in on that now or?
For this year, yeah, but contact Meg Robertson. She's always looking for fresh speakers. We would like to use different. Four people that always speak. One is, of course, we have a new commissioner this year, and I believe he'll be speaking briefly. That is David Darkangelo. And David Darkangelo is a former chair of the Rehabilitation Council for MCB, and he's not as well-known as some in the blind community, but he's certainly been very active at the State House, and he's been very active in politics as well. So he'll be there. Meg Robertson will be there. I will be speaking representing Bay State Council and Amy Rule representing the NFB Massachusetts. Yeah. And what we will be reading, we sort of flip back and forth. There are two documents that Amy and I generally read. Ours is a little more boring, but it's still important. One is the summary of the White Cane Law, which basically says that anyone using a white cane or a guide dog is to be given right of way at crosswalks of intersections. So what we do, what we also do is we reach out to agencies. For example, we've reached out to agencies like the Registry of Motor Vehicles and invited some of those folks in the past. This year, we're actually encouraging members of the public as well as members of our organizations to reach out to members of their local communities.
Okay.
For example, police departments. So obviously, all of these laws are enforced mainly at the local level by the local police department of your city or town, unless you're on some sort of a major state road, in which case there's, you know, sometimes the state troopers are.
Yeah.
But for most of the places that pedestrians are going to be, it is about the local police enforcing pedestrian laws. I will always remember a time when I was getting some mobility, probably about 5 years ago, and the instructor became very upset because of all the people that were running one of the red lights in an intersection that we were doing, and it was actually one that had audible pedestrian signals. You know, I love audible pedestrian signals, but if you push that button and somebody runs the light, well, the signal didn't help you that much then.
Well, and that's always the problem, that no matter how much, no matter how many aids we have to help us, there's no substitute for paying attention.
That's why I prefer signals that don't stay on for very long, because I want to listen to see what that darn traffic's doing when
that's right.
The step out there, you know, and all of that. And I've been to our local police a few different times over the years. I haven't done it lately to, you know, inform them about this. I actually went that day with that particular mobility instructor, and I heard a sad story about tight budgets and probably not having the ability to come and patrol the intersection, although they said they'd love to and they thought it was a good idea, but whatever.
Well, and again, you know, tight budgets can certainly get into it, but
if the
understanding isn't there in the first place, then it doesn't matter how much money you have.
Well, that's right, and that's exactly the whole point, is that we need to try to put this issue higher on the priority lists or the radars of our various local officials.
Well, it's constant education, which is
that's
part
exactly
of what
right.
We all have to do pretty that's much most of our lives.
Part of the nature of all of these organizations like Bay State Council, NFB, or the DPC.
Right.
As another example. Mm-hmm. And so, again, the drop-off address is 221 Bowdoin Street. And if you want to register for White Cane Day, you can either contact me, that's Bob Hache, at 781-893-6251. My email is bhache@verizon.net. That is bhachey@verizon.net. Or you could call Meg Robertson at the Commission for the Blind, and her phone number is 617-626-7581. Again, that number is 617-626-7581. Oh, and one more note. The Talking Information Center will be recording this event for a later live broadcast.
Okay.
Sometime in the month of October, probably.
All right.
I would think they don't know when that's going to be yet.
Well, Bob, thank you once again for updating us and giving this information to us. And the only thing I can say is if you missed the train this year, you've got another whole year to get ready for the next White Cane Safety Day.
That's correct.
You're listening to Council Connection on the Talking Information Center Network. The show also airs on the second Tuesday of the month on ACB Radio Mainstream at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can find past shows in the Council Connection archive at www.acbfma.org. BSCB President Brian Charlson manages to keep himself pretty busy during the year, both in and out of Massachusetts. He stopped by tonight to tell us just what he's been up to. Brian, it's good to have you back here.
Yeah, it's been a few months since I've needed to be here. You've had a lot of content to work through.
Well, yeah, and of course, most of it's been from the ACB National Convention, Conference and Convention, excuse me for not getting that whole title in there. But it's no longer summertime, and I think it's time we kind of reshift the focus back to the local level. So
there's a few things going on locally, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, understand that for me locally this time of year, because I'm married to the ACB president, Kim Charlson, means we do a bit more traveling, mm-hmm. going to affiliate conventions, and we're just back from the Illinois Council of the Blind Convention.
That's right. They were...
So that was this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good convention, and they broadcast it on ACB Radio. And then this coming weekend is the fall ACB board meeting. And those meetings always happen in the city where the next national convention will be.
Right.
So Kim and I will be heading to Rochester, New York.
Ah, yes.
And I have an interesting set of activities that I do during those meetings. I'm lucky enough to be used as part of the tour committee.
Oh, okay.
To go out and test out tours.
That's right. I remember you and Brenda Trott were talking about that last spring at the banquet.
So this year, I'm going to go to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Mind you, it is a three-hour trip one way.
From Rochester?
From Rochester. So I expect it will do 3 hours going, then 3 hours there, then 3 hours coming back. And I'm going to be heading off to Corning, New York, where Corning glassware is manufactured. And since I love to cook, I have a sneaking suspicion I'll be leaving with a few extra pieces.
Probably.
And they tell me that before we come back to Rochester, we're going to stop by an Italian restaurant those who go on the Corning tour will get a chance to eat at this Italian restaurant before they come back.
Mm-hmm.
And they will have a hands-on training on how to make mozzarella cheese.
Really?
Really. So everybody goes home with handcrafted mozzarella cheese made by their own hands.
We usually don't want to say that our convention is a cheesy affair, but I suppose in this case we just might.
We just might. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So that's what I'll be doing while Madam President is holding meetings and all that kind of fun stuff.
Doing all the executive things that Madam President would do.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yes. So that's this coming weekend. And then I can't remember if it's the weekend after that or 2 weekends after that, Kim and I will be going down to the Kentucky Council of the Blind Convention in Louisville.
Oh, never a dull moment in the presidential household.
And keep in mind that as of the end of the Rochester Convention, Kim will no longer be president. She will have maxed out her 3 2-year terms president.
That's right.
And I'm expecting that there'll be a little less constant hustle.
One can only
on
hope.
Grandview Avenue.
Yep. One can only hope.
So here locally, of course, we have our fall DSCB one-day event on November 17.
Right.
The conference committee is busy nailing down those last-minute speakers and the like.
That's right. And they're going to have a phone call. That's a different conference committee. I get them confused. I've got the same problem. I was thinking I have to be on one on the 15th, but that's for the spring conference. So, of course, as you well know, but maybe our listeners don't, we have to plan 6 months out for the next event.
Exactly. Now, spring is the first. No, it's the second weekend in March, the weekend of March 8th.
Right.
So it might not feel like spring then. We'll see.
Well, one never knows, but I think it's a pretty safe bet around here that it probably will feel like late winter.
Yeah, it is New England after all.
It is.
So those are the two conferences that we're involved in putting together, and mm-hmm. hope people can join us for both of those.
Yep.
The one is a one-day informational event, and the other is a two-and-a-half-day convention. So there's official business to be conducted.
Right. That's in the spring. And, of course, the fall is, as you say, the one-day program.
One-day informational, yeah.
And we'll be previewing that hopefully a lot more on our next show. We won't do too much of that this
tonight,
month, because things are still drifting around and getting settled, and there's no point in telling people about something that may change.
There you go. Right. So other news based state-wise is we have a new member of our board of directors.
Yes, we do. Cheryl Cummings.
Cheryl Cummings is the newest member of our board. She'll be fulfilling an unexpired term of a board member who had to move out of state.
Right. It's Carrie Schuller.
Carrie Schuller, exactly. So she'll be up for election to the post in March at the Spring Conference.
Right.
There'll be others running as well, because we do officers on 1 year and board members on the opposite year.
Right.
So there'll be board members being elected this time around. So those are a couple of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's been my pleasure to go out and visit our Central Massachusetts chapter at their last meeting. Kim and I went there, Kim talking about library services. I did a demo of IRA.
Yes.
I'm a big, big IRA fan.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, did an IRA demo when I was in Illinois, and did one today at work as well. So that's all been what we've been up to. Now, one of the things people don't realize is there's an awful lot of nitty-gritty that goes on in between. Our treasurer in Bay State, Rick Morin, has been working on transportation-related issues.
Mm-hmm.
And what used to be called ACT, Accessible, transportation in there anyway, that expired, and a new organization has been set up in its place to advise the MBTA on issues associated with people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect that that is going to actually be more effective than recent years of the Act has been.
Okay.
And there's a lot to consider. You know, we have not only the Uber pilot going on, but we also have issues of the central dispatch, as
yes.
opposed to each of the vendors doing their own dispatching.
Yes.
So those kinds of things are going on there. Nothing ever quiet, don't you know?
No.
And then let's see, what else do we have going on? Okay, I mentioned to you earlier, Steve, that I was busy signing legal documents, and so we got off to a slightly delayed recording of this program.
Yes.
And those legal documents were being signed by me in the name of Bay State Council of the Blind.
Okay.
Those of you who are people who enjoy Netflix can remember that a few years back we had a settlement with Netflix that required that they make certain things accessible.
Yes.
And that they stream audio description when available.
Right.
I'm one of those who took a great deal of advantage of that. I think I've watched Netflix for an hour today. So that's all fine and good, but there are other services similar to it that we needed to arrange the same thing.
Okay.
So today, Kim and I signed the final papers. She is president of ACB and me as president of Bay State to a settlement with Hulu.
Yes.
The other major service.
Streaming service.
Streaming service, exactly. So what we've got in this agreement is, by January 1, 2020, that's a little over a year when you're doing legal stuff, they can't do it overnight.
No.
By that date, their website and their apps and any other devices used to access Hulu content must be made accessible.
And I think that's going to be a big job for them, because as I think I remember hearing, they have not exactly been the paragon of accessibility.
They have not up to this point. And it's a complicated situation. You know, Netflix is pretty much a view-on-demand service,
mm-hmm.
right? There's not something that's on tonight kind of
right.
scenario.
Yeah.
With Hulu, they have that on-demand service for some content. They also stream live TV, and they have what's called a 24-hour on-demand service. So the standard looks just like Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
The second, the streaming, is major networks like NBC, ABC, CBS.
Okay.
There's only a slight matter of seconds delay for that.
Oh.
And then anything that they stream in that fashion becomes available for a on-demand experience the next day. So what we were able to achieve in this settlement is any material that Hulu makes available to their customers, if it's available with audio description, because they don't have any content that they make themselves. They're all strictly send other people stuff.
Right.
But any of that stuff must be made available with that audio description. They must make an appropriate business effort to get the rights to do that.
Well, some of that should be pretty easy for them if they're streaming networks, because the networks are already.
Wouldn't you like to think so?
But it doesn't work that way.
Biggest rub. I wish it did.
Yeah.
Because then I might go out and cut the cord, you know?
Well, yeah, sure, you could.
But in this case, the Hulu system is set up on one video stream and one audio stream.
Oh, so you don't have room for that extra channel.
There is no equivalent of SAP, secondary audio programming.
Oh, boy.
It's secondary.
Yeah.
But any of that that is broadcast with audio description is being captured by Hulu with audio description. And that is then available the next day.
Okay.
So, not quite the same as watching, you know, Chicago Med tonight.
That's right, but...
Well, right. But you can watch Chicago Med tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, yeah. Now, does that mean that they're going to have one stream where there is audio description and another where there isn't, so that if other people want it on demand, they don't have to put up with the jabbering in the background that they really don't care about? Or how are they going to handle that?
Again, they've got to find a way to do it.
Yep.
But in these settlements, you can't tell them how to do it.
Yeah, they'll figure that out.
Only,
only that they have to.
So we have a 3-year process where we will monitor them keeping to this agreement.
Yep.
And this agreement was worked out in front of an administrative judge here in Boston at the federal courthouse building.
Wow.
Took us a day to knock out the deal breakers and come up with compromises through the process. Nonetheless, we will see an expanded number of ways that you can spend your day and night and all of those with description. And again, this was one of those things that was possible because Bay State and ACB work well together, not just because we have this husband and wife team going on.
No.
We've had this going on for several presidents.
And
we're
again,
lucky because we live in a jurisdiction where the courts are quite friendly to our issues.
Yes. And of course, again, this is something that people often don't think about, is that it just takes a lot of time to hammer all this stuff out because, you know, we know what we want when we say make it accessible, but you've got to define that for the people that are doing it. You've got to consider the ways that they can accomplish it given the infrastructure that they have. And all of that takes time and patience and work.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's see, what other fun things? There's always something, Steve.
Well, there is. And there's one thing that you haven't mentioned a lot about, and I think we'd be remiss if we don't talk about it, and that is that MCB has a new commissioner.
Absolutely. I met with him yesterday, David D'Arcangelo. Mm-hmm. He's the former director of the Massachusetts Office on Disability, a very well-spoken gentleman. Spent an hour with him yesterday, and it's clear that he sees what we've accomplished this year with the additional funding for the agency, that kind of thing. He also is aware that not everything is fixed. The little bits and pieces here and there need fixing, especially when it comes to accounting-related activities at the commission. But he's also convinced that a couple of other things have to get done. One is we need to make our services as available in the western part of the state as they are in downtown Boston.
Yes.
All Massachusetts citizens have the right to the same service quality and, quite honestly, also immediacy.
Yes.
And that's his second issue. So I'm really excited that he sees the importance of narrowing that gap between need and execution. But again, it's a matter of not saying it can't be done.
Right.
And give a long list of why it can't be done.
No.
It's all about how can we do it.
That's right.
As long as we keep that focus in mind, we'll do fine. Now, it's, you know, let's face it, there's not a lot of O&M instructors living out in the western part of the state.
No.
So it'll take extra effort to be able to get an O&M instructor out to where they need to be.
Yes.
At the same time, it's also true that there are many more employment opportunities in the greater Boston area than there are in the greater, Greenfield area.
Right.
There's just, you know, that's the case whether you're sighted or not.
Sure.
So under those circumstances, you know, it'll take some doing. But if this commissioner says that's my priority, stability, rapidity to get things started and to be more, if you will, homogeneous across the state in terms of what you qualify for and what you get.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pleased with that chance to get to meet with him. We're hoping that he'll be able to get time in his schedule to come and introduce himself to the membership at the fall conference and probably again at the spring conference.
Yes.
The fall one's more going to be a, hi, I'm David D'Arcangelo, while the spring one, he will have been in place long enough to start talking about issues and being prepared to answer questions.
Yes.
So that has been an important change in our world here recently. Now, when it comes to the arts, our Guide Dog Users of Massachusetts
affiliate
is going to be showing a movie all about guide dog puppies as they're whelped and then homeschooled a little bit and then trained to be guide dogs. It's supposed to be an excellent, excellent movie.
I've heard that it is.
In fact, I know at least five people who are have already seen it mm-hmm. in a public theater who are also going to make a point of going and seeing it again.
Yes.
And that event is going to be along with pizza and popcorn and that kind of thing. So it will be a true social event as well as a good movie.
Right.
And I'm pleased that it will be at the Carroll Center's Technology Center Lecture Hall area because we've installed wholly new video audio components. So that's one of the artsy things going on. I know the Social Committee of Bay State is planning another highly artsy thing. It's called bowling.
Yes.
It was a successful event when we held it about a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to revisit that here in the late fall.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to that. I have to tell you, that was the first time I've ever candlepin bowled before.
Yeah, I've been trying to put in a bid for making circular alleys because they're the only kind I seem to have any success at.
I got you there. Well, the idea that at least the ball doesn't go in the gutter, there's some appeal to that.
Yes, I know. My problem was that the balls mm-hmm. went in the gutter of the alley next to mine, not necessarily yeah. mine. And that was, you know, when they kind of asked me to leave.
Yeah, I got one strike that way. They wouldn't let me count it.
Yeah.
They would not
somebody
let me count it.
Somebody else's alley.
Yeah, that's right. So there's that going on. But also out there in the general arts, and probably somewhere around 60 blind and visually impaired people have attended the audio-described performance of Hamilton. I'm telling you, Steve, there were blind and visually impaired people there that I haven't seen in years. It really caught the imagination of our community. And it is pretty spectacular as a show.
I've heard
now,
that.
I'm not a big hip-hop fan, and yet by the time you're through the third song and they come fast and furious,
mm-hmm.
you're into it. You're listening to that lyric and just amazed at the cleverness of the rhyming, because it's like the whole thing's in verse. Not that much different, my friend, from Shakespeare, who did everything in verse.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. So it was a powerful experience, and I'm glad I got an opportunity to participate in that. We are, of course, continuously building our infrastructure within the organization.
Yes, we
the
are.
Website is better than it's ever been. Thank you, Mr. Webmaster there.
With the assistance of a lot of people, Jackie Tolisano being the main one, but, you know.
But it ended David Kingsbury, who continues to post new content up there.
Yep.
So,
well, and
all that's to the good.
I think it's maybe fair to say here that one of the things that makes the website possible, in addition to the ability to post, is the content being generated by people on our committees, people like Deanne Elliott and, you know, the other committees that are doing things, Mary Heroyan, who has been very, very conscientious about membership. She sees to it that people get subscribed if they're not subscribed to our announce list. By sending me an email and saying very politely, Steve, could you subscribe person X or Y or Z, which, of course, as soon as I know they're there, I do.
And exactly.
You know, so it takes many hands to keep this all going. It's not just the people that set up the site. It's the people that are working behind the scenes to give us the content to publish, because without that, you can have the best infrastructure in the world, but if there's no content, then who cares?
And one of the things that just, I think it was submitted today, is the last of the chapter descriptions coming in from GDUM.
Oh, good, good.
So we have the student group, the guide dog group, and our regional groups, Central Mass,
yep, each of whom
Greater
now
Boston,
has
Charles River chapter and South Shore chapter.
Yep.
We're busy putting in resolutions from the past several years.
Yep. Bob Hache has been busy doing that.
Right. And we're putting also together lists of those who've received our awards over the years.
Yes.
You know, it's not so easy to remember those kinds of things, but there are people who are information hoarders who are out there who we're getting to pull those things together for us so we can have it posted up there proper.
Well, that's right. And that's something that I think is important for people to know when they're looking at our organization. And it's one of the many things we do. And it's good that people will find out about that.
So there's one last thing I want to mention, if I may, before
Certainly.
We sign off this evening. And that is, there are two things that make an affiliate actually get out and be something. One is membership, and we have a good, healthy membership here. Could it be twice as many or three times as many? Absolutely, it could be. And I hope to see the day when that's the case. The other part is money to pay for things.
That's right.
The quality of our website is there because we had the money to pay a consultant to help us make it happen. The scholarship we get out there once a year, that comes from fundraising. So I wanted to thank all of those who participated in this year's Brenda Dillon Walk. This is a fundraiser that happens at the ACB convention, and Kim and I created a team called the Presidents, that's plural, team. And we went out and asked all our friends, which included an email to every Bay State member,
yep,
if they would pledge toward that walk. One of the spectacular things about this year is we had one sponsor who agreed to match the first $5,000 we raised. And we raised more than $5,000 through pledges. So that got doubled. And so Bay State ended up getting 50% of that, a little over $5,000, and ACB a little over $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank all those who participated in that. Know that every dollar you donated was doubled.
Incredible.
So we do what we do, right? There'll
yes,
be a
we
raffle
do.
At the fall conference as a little fundraiser here, a little fundraiser there. We're already starting to gather things up for the auction that will follow the spring convention
yep.
Banquet.
Yep. And that's always a fun time.
Oh, that's always a good time. Absolutely. Yep. And we're looking for other fundraising ideas. So if anybody listening has a great fundraising idea, our ears are open. We're always open to that.
And, of course, one way they can put in that kind of a suggestion is to leave a message in our Fillmore mailbox. But another way I would imagine, if you're up for it, is that they can contact you directly?
Absolutely.
And if they're going to do that, how would they go about it?
They send an email to Brian Charlson, one word, BrianCharlson, at Comcast.net.
Okay.
Or they can call on my amazing iPhone at 617-775-2541.
And let's hope that they do and keep those ideas coming, because without the ideas, we don't get things done either.
You got it. You got it. Well, thank you, Steve, for all you do to make this program possible. And with the website and, well, and the sound, man, I mean, a few hats you're wearing there.
Yeah,
and
well,
we do appreciate that.
Sometimes they collide with each other, but, we still try and get things done. And thank you, Brian, for joining us tonight and bringing us up to date on all that's going on in the Bay State.
Take care.
You too.
You're listening to Council Connection on the Talking Information Center Network. The show also airs on the second Tuesday of the month on ACB Radio Mainstream at 9 p.m. Eastern.
You can find past shows in the Council Connection archive at www.acbfma.org. Here in the Bay State, we take audio description pretty seriously. Every week, those of us on the announcement list get an email telling us what programs are on TV, what movies are in theaters, and what plays we can go to if we're so inclined. But Massachusetts isn't the only place where things are happening with audio description. Here's Dan Spoon and Joel Snyder to tell us what's happening nationally.
It is an exciting, amazing time to be blind and be loving audio description. Do you all agree? Woo! All right. Gang, it is amazing where we have come in maybe what seems like a lifetime, but now it seems like it's really moving at an exponential rate. So this year, for the first time, all 9 Academy Award-nominated movies were audio described. How about that? Isn't that just fantastic? And we're making strides in so many different areas. Starting as of July 1st, just a couple of days ago, we've now gone to 87 and a half hours of audio described programming that is required on the top 4 networks and the top 5 cable companies, cable broadcasters. So we're expanding again and again and again. But not just through the cable networks and the broadcast networks. The huge change is coming is the live streaming over the internet. I would encourage you all to please go visit acb.org/ADP and look at the wonderful master listing that Fred Brack has created for us. Right now, between Netflix, Amazon, iTunes, audio described DVDs, new releases in movie theaters, we now have almost 2,000 titles of audio described content that you can get your hands on right now. Is that amazing? Woo! But not just with media. We've also been able to move forward with some special projects, and Joel will talk to you in more detail about this later. But on August 21st last year, when that once-in-a-lifetime total eclipse of the sun came through, we had a group in Nashville, Tennessee, with the Tennessee Council of the Blind that worked collaboratively with the Tennessee School for the Blind, with our ACB radio team, with the Tennessee Performing Arts Center, TPAC, in Nashville. And Joel did a great job, and we were able to all pull this together and do a live broadcast with Julie Cawthon as our describer of the eclipse, it was listened to by 20,000 people in the United States and around the world. Now that's the Audio Description Project and ACB Radio delivering for blind and visually impaired people. Isn't that fantastic? Our committee works tirelessly and very hard. They have we have a very hard taskmaster in our office liaison, Kim Charlson, that never gives us a moment's rest. And we have worked very hard. We have 7 work streams inside of our committee. We have 39 goals and objectives. These are SMART objectives. They're specific, measured, accountable, responsible, and time-based. And we work to deliver those goals and objectives every year through our 7 work streams. We have a media subcommittee chaired by Carl Richardson from Massachusetts. It's here for Carl. We have an ADP conference subcommittee co-chaired by sisters Jolynn Bailey Page and Susan Glass. They're wonderful, wonderful people. This year, at our conference that was just held, we had 38 participants plus 25 panelists, a group of over 60 that spent 3 afternoons discussing a variety of topics associated with audio description. They did an absolutely fantastic job. We have a BADDY essay contest chaired, again, by Susan Glass, Benefits of Audio Description in Education. We had over 35 participants this year, and we're able to give awards in 3 different categories. Did an absolutely fabulous job. We also have an awards committee, which we'll hear a little bit more about. That is chaired by Chris Gray. We from Missouri. Hey, hey. We also have a 508 committee chaired by Pat Sheehan from Maryland. Thank you, Pat. And we have a Museums, Performing Arts, and Parks Committee chaired by Denise Decker and Mary Hanks. And we're very excited about our latest subcommittee, which is a certification subcommittee, where we are working for the first time to have an independent, identifiable, approved certification for audio description and voicing of audio description content. This committee is chaired by Jennifer Nigro and Mary Hanks. We spent a lot of time working on that, and the goal is to work to start the process with a subject matter expert committee working with ACVREP, and I'll let Joel give you the details of that, but it's a wonderful certification committee, and that will hopefully be all pulled together by December. So these are our committees. We also have several other wonderful participants of our steering committee. We have Sean Barrett. We have Margie Donovan. We have Satana Howery. We have Burl Colley. We have a ton of folks that get out there every day. And if I missed any names, I really, really, really apologize. But everybody's doing a great job. And so right now, I'd like to turn it over to the one and only, our ADP director, Joel Snyder.
Oh my God. Oh, such an introduction. Wow. Good morning, everyone. It is fantastic to be here to meet you in St. Louis, if you will, to be here with you at a little bit of a birthday celebration. This is the Audio Description Project's 10th year. And we have, Dan's already alluded to it. We've accomplished a great deal in a relatively short period of time and have made our mark in the audio description field internationally in a number of different ways. First and foremost, though, I have to acknowledge the leadership of Kim Charlson, our president, who was our chair of our steering committee of the Audio Description Project, and then she got a promotion. She decided she'd be the president of the American Council of the Blind. We said, well, okay. And we were so thrilled then to get Dan Spoon as the chair of our steering committee. And man, he has whipped us into shape with the number of committees that subcommittees that he's mentioned. And we've pulled together a lot of different work and activity that, I want to share with you. And indeed, one of the, most important components of the Audio Description Project is our every 2 years biennial Audio Description Project conference. We just wrapped up this year's conference yesterday. Three wonderful days of discussion on all things audio description. People from all around the world, indeed, we had folks from, let's see, over 20 states, the District of Columbia, and five other nations were represented: Spain, Israel, Brazil, Canada, and the United Kingdom. So it was great. It was great. Not only do we do the Audio Description Project Conference, a major conference every 2 years, we present every year the Audio Description Project Achievement Awards. And I want to acknowledge this year's award winners, some of whom are, I think, in the audience here, and I'll ask them to shout out or something. Waving their hands, not so good, maybe. But we've got some great awardees this year. The Achievement Award in Performing Arts went to Mind's Eye Radio right here in St. Louis. Yeah. And I think Rachel Melton is here. There's Rachel Melton is waving her arm. Shout out, Rachel. There you go. The Missouri folks, indeed, yes. The Media Achievement Award went to a group in Seattle, Washington, called Rooted in Rights. Not only do they, yeah, that's right, Washington State, huh? Not only do they produce a great deal of media, all of which is audio described, the media they do always has to do with social justice, social responsibility, and our awards committee was so impressed with that and decided this year to acknowledge them with our Media Achievement Award. Museums, our Museums Visual Arts Visitor Center Award this year. You heard a little bit about the Solar Eclipse Project. That was great fun. I hope a lot of you were listening in last August to our to our little solar eclipse program. Well, it was coordinated by ACB and the Audio Description Project with our good friends at the Tennessee School for the Blind and the Mid-Tennessee Council of the Blind, Dan Dillon, who I'm sure is here. Dan and we had one of the top describers from the Tennessee Performing Arts Center, Julia Cawthon, was actually doing the description while I was in Washington, kind of hosting the program, if you will. So the Tennessee School for the Blind and Julia Cawthon won this year's Museums Visual Arts and Visitor Center Award. We also acknowledge every year a leader in audio description outside the United States, our international award. And we were thrilled this year to be able to acknowledge the contributions of a blind gentleman in Tel Aviv, Israel, Amos Beir, who is the director of the Central Library for the Blind in Tel Aviv. Not only are they a library for the blind, they are an active audio description provider throughout the country of Israel. I've had the great honor to speak to their assembly and to train audio describers under their auspice in Israel. They do a wonderful job. Amos Beir, the Central Library for the Blind in Tel Aviv. we get so many wonderful entries or nominations. You know, it's a difficult choice sometimes. And sometimes our committee will say, well, we're going to give a special recognition award in this category as well. And in the international area, we had a magnificent nomination of Dr. Antonio Martin and Aristia Productions in Madrid. Yes. Yes. And they do marvelous work, not only with description for ONCE, the Association for the Blind in Spain, but also in training describers, especially in Spanish description. They do a great job. So Dr. Martin was our Special Recognition for International Work awardee. And speaking of international, the Dr. Margaret Fanstiel Career Achievement, or Achievement Award, rather, in Research and Development went to our very good friend, Dr. Francisco Lima in Recife, Brazil. I think Francisco is here. He's stayed with us for the week to join us at our institute, and he has done magnificent work, especially with audio description, are you ready, of insects. He is helping us pull together an audio described tour of the insect zoo at the Smithsonian Institution, National Museum of Natural History. Yes, it's really wonderful working with him. And he's developed an app that will help describers be better describers in a scientific sense, in a way to describe tiny little insects and arthropods. It's really something that's never been done before. Dr. Francisco Lima. And finally, the Barry Levine Career Achievement Award in audio description went to an organization that has been around almost since the beginning of description. I actually wrote and voiced three of the first film descriptions ever done. It was in 1985, and I did it under the auspice of WGBH in Boston, the Carl and Ruth Shapiro Family National Center for Accessible Media, WGBH, our Career Achievement Award this year. Just a couple of other things. We are right now in the middle. Every year we do two audio description institutes, and we're right now in the middle of our 14th Audio Description Institute, where we train audio describers, and a bunch of them are in the back now. I said, you know, enough with the institute. We want to come in and be with consumers of description for a while. So shout out back there, institute people. Yeah. They're great. They're great. I also would mention every year when I talk to you, you know, you've got to, if you haven't visited our website, boy, you have got to get thee to acb.org/ADP. You will find more information there about audio description on the web than any other place in the world, really, with respect to description. You'll find out what's described on television, what's in movie theaters with description, what DVDs are described, what theaters in your state, what museums in your state have description, a wealth of information, acb.org/ADP. And by the way, if you go to the DVD section and click on a DVD, it takes you immediately to the site at Amazon where you can buy that DVD and be assured that it has audio description. And guess what? Of course, American Council of the Blind gets like a nickel or a dime or something for every DVD you purchase. So go to the Audio Description Project website, buy some DVDs. In fact, if you click on that link, buy some DVDs, buy a couple of refrigerators too, because we'll get like $1.50 or $2 or something for each one. Thank you so much.
A logo, ACB, in print and braille. American Council of the Blind, together for a bright future. Highlights from the 2018 Conference and Convention, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Peter Heide. I'm from Baraboo, Wisconsin. This is my first convention.
The Crowded Exhibitors Hall.
I've been to other conventions.
Attendees bid at an auction.
There's not the kind of humor that goes along with it that we have here, and that it's been real relief to find that people are able to laugh at themselves and with one another.
Crystal Jones, escalation engineer, Microsoft, presents to an audience.
The workshops that I've been to have been absolutely amazing, and the ability to speak with the presenters and do some problem solving, sort of brainstorming, and the crowdsourcing that this group does has been really amazing.
We're going to talk about the channels by which we advocate.
Tony Stevens, director of advocacy and governmental affairs.
And in that, we're going to be doing a little bit of work to engage you all. We don't want this to be a one-way lecture, right? This is an interactive opportunity for all of us to get engaged.
I taught myself how to look people in the eye.
Marilee Talkington, professional low vision actress.
And I still do. It's part of my muscle memory now. It's not even a conscious thing anymore. It's just part of my makeup. So I play both sighted and blind characters. So, and in fact, 95% of the characters I play are sighted. And people don't know.
Alan Casey, CCLVI Scholarship Committee.
So would you please welcome from Elizabeth, Indiana, and Chicago, Illinois, Samantha Mayberry.
Shoulder-length blonde hair.
My name is Samantha Mayberry. I am a very proud winner of the CCLVI Fred Scheigert Scholarship, and I would like to give a huge thank you to Mr. Fred Scheigert and the CCLVI Scholarship Committee for presenting me with this award. I don't know how I would be able to attend Columbia College Chicago without it, and it's definitely been an amazing help for me.
From Texas, we say howdy!
Richard Turner, blind master card mechanic.
Howdy! I love it when the audience shows up. So much more fun. Well, as you heard, I'm Richard Turner, and I represent why you should never play cards with strangers. And you won't find anyone stranger than myself. I'm much known as a card mechanic.
Jeff Bishop, ACB board member.
Convention is a great time. It's a time to really, you know, see friends.
An attendee at the exhibit hall with a volunteer.
Meet new people and really socialize and learn from each other.
A packed general session.
And to be able to really share experiences and find out information from each other. It's a really great experience.
A logo, ACB in print and braille, American Council of the Blind, together for a bright future.
And that brings us to the end of Council Connection for the month of October. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please leave us a message in our Fillmore box at 773-275-6312. I'm your host, Steve Dresser, inviting you to join us again when we return in November with another edition of Council Connection. Take care.